Thanks for listening to the Inner Life Podcast. Be sure to join us every weekday at 11 a.m. Central on Relevant Radio or on the Relevant Radio app. Find your local Relevant Radio station at relevantradio.com or stream us live every day on the Relevant Radio app.
It's time to set out on the pathway to healing and light. This is the Inner Life on Relevant Radio. If you have questions or concerns about your faith journey, if you are struggling or searching for something more, if you are in need of some spiritual direction, our Catholic priests are here to help.
One heart at a time.
Welcome to the Inner Life on Relevant Radio.
Welcome indeed to the Inner Life here on this Wednesday. It's the Feast of St. Philip Neri, and so glad to have you joining us here for this hour of spiritual direction on Relevant Radio, this hour where together we try and grow in holiness in so many different ways, look at different aspects of our lives, different aspects of our faith, what Christ calls us to do, how Christ calls us to live in community with each other, and of course, in following him, his example. And today, as we start our program, not necessarily so much a spiritual question, but what's your favorite restaurant? And I'm not talking about maybe a fast food drive-through kind of place. I mean, do you have that favorite spot that you like to go to and sit down and have a nice meal, maybe with your spouse or somebody else in your family, maybe with a good friend? And what makes that restaurant your top choice? It's probably a mixture of things. You like the food, of course, but then you also might really enjoy the atmosphere. And of course, the service, it has to be good too, because bad service, I mean really lousy service, it can change your whole attitude toward ever going back to a restaurant. For me, there's also a difference in my attitude towards someone who is working at a restaurant as a server. I'm okay with being waited on in that setting since the server is being paid and I know that I'm going to leave a tip at the end of the meal to thank them, that gratuity. But if you're like me, then your attitude, it might change on having someone wait on you if it's a different setting. If you've been invited over to somebody's house for dinner, there's a different kind of balance to walk on them being the host or the hostess to you in their own home. And you want to be gracious to that hospitality, while at the same time you want to offer to help in those areas where you can. You might offer to help with some of the preparation for the meal, or maybe you try and clean up after the meal, help with that aspect. If that person who invited you, if they don't allow you to help, even in some modest way there, if you're just left sitting at the table waiting while they do the work all around you, it can make for an awkward feeling. And those awkward times when someone is waiting on you and you feel like you should be doing something to help, or that they're maybe doing something that's a little below them, beneath them, and you want to take over, can you think of that time? Have you been in those sorts of situations? One that comes to my mind, it wasn't in a restaurant, it wasn't in somebody's home, it was actually in public, and I'd agreed to it. And if you've gone to the Mass at any point over the Triduum, you know, Holy Thursday, the Good Friday service, the Easter Vigil, well, Holy Thursday, at the evening Mass, there's where you watch the washing of feet. And at our parish, it was a number of years ago, I'd been one of those people asked to have my feet washed by the priest. And I felt honored that I was asked, but I really didn't have that desire to be up there in front of the whole parish community. And I actually prefer to keep kind of a low profile as much as I can in spite of the size of our family. But even though I was reluctant, I said, yes, okay, you know, I'll be one of the people up there. And that night at Mass, as I took off the sock and the shoe on one foot, and the priest, he raised my foot over that basin and poured water from a pitcher over my foot, and then he dried it with a towel, and he's reenacting Jesus washing his disciples' feet. But I felt extremely awkward. It was difficult for me to just sit there and let our priest do this act of service, even though I knew there was the symbolism, there was the meaning behind it. But the actual moment that it's happening, it would have been more natural for me to say, no, 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 you don't have to do that. Here, let me take care of that. No, that's not necessary. You know, being seated there in front of hundreds of other parishioners, that might have added to that awkwardness. But mostly it came down to the fact that I didn't feel worthy to have a priest do that act of service for me. I didn't feel worthy, right? And in reality, none of us are worthy of God's love and God's forgiveness, God's grace, God's mercy. These are all gifts. But on the other hand, at other times, my pride, it can get in the way. It can get into the mix there so that I go to the other side, kind of like how we hear about with James and John in today's gospel reading at Mass. They ask Jesus to give them a special place of honor above anyone else. And they ask this right in front of all their friends, right in front of the other disciples, asking for Jesus in his kingdom to sit one of them on his right and one of them on his left, making them kind of its two top guys there. But then Jesus, he turns their request on its head, and he talks about what really makes someone great. That's serving others. Jesus tells them, he says, "Whoever wishes to be great among you will be your servant. Whoever wishes to be first among you will be the slave of all. For the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." So today, here on The Inner Life, we want to look at how we can be great as we can be, by being servants to those around us. And today, helping us to look at this idea of servanthood, Christian servanthood, is one of our spiritual directors, Father Jeremy Plouffe. He's a priest in the Diocese of St. Cloud, Minnesota, and the pastor of three parishes there in western Minnesota. Father Jeremy, welcome back to The Inner Life today. So have you ever had anybody else who's talked with you as you've washed their feet maybe after that Holy Thursday Mass and said, yeah, it felt a little awkward being up there and allowing you to do that?
Absolutely, Josh. I think that's such a good example to bring up of even on the other side of it where we're trying to recruit people before Holy Thursday for the washing of the feet. A lot of people will be hesitant, to say the least, of doing it. And of course, sometimes there is the very understandable reasons. I don't like being in front of other people, or it just makes me feel uncomfortable to take off my shoe and sock in public like that. But a great number of them, exactly as you say, you know, I don't feel like I should be the one being served. And it's at some point, I have to say that that's really kind of a touching thing for me as the priest, for to hear people say, you know, I shouldn't be the one served. I should be the one serving. I think that's a marvelous sort of Christian attitude, to have that instinct of I should be the one helping, not the one being helped.
Yeah, well, and, you know, on both sides of that, whether I'm the one doing the serving or whether somebody is serving me and I'm allowing them to, both of those, it really takes humility. And I have to be able to let go of my pride and allow others the opportunity to serve me when there is that time that they're trying to be that, trying to emulate Christ and follow his teaching. And then I have to be willing to serve others in those moments when the opportunity presents itself. That humility is needed on both sides there.
Absolutely. And I want to get things rolling on exactly how you point out in today's gospel, which is so important. And I think you hit the nail right on the head, Josh, with saying that when James and John, the famous sons of Zebedee, say, like, we want to sit on your right and your left, you know, and Christ has to say, wait a minute, we're supposed to be servants. The thing for me that I think on either side of the coin, whether it's sometimes I need to be the one serving, and other times, as difficult as it might be, I need to let others be the servant as well. Earlier on in that gospel, I believe it's verse 45, it's Mark chapter 10, and I believe it's verse 35, where when James and John are introducing what they're about to say to Christ, they phrase it in this way. They say to Christ, "We want you to do for us whatever we ask you." And it's this really kind of uncomfortable moment in the gospel where we think, wait a minute, these guys are apostles. These guys are saints. And they start off this conversation with Christ saying, you do what we want you to do. And I think that might have signaled to not only the other apostles, but certainly to Christ himself, at least in his humanity, of, okay, this is going to, whatever they're going to ask is going to need a correction. When they come up to Christ and say, you know, we're not interested in your will, Jesus. We want you to do whatever we want. And whether it's, you know, we're the ones that want to be served or we the ones who want to do the serving, they're starting off on the wrong foot. So in all circumstances, when we're talking about, you know, if we need to be humble and be the servant, or as awkward as it might be, and be the ones who are being served by others, if we're on that point of where James and John were telling Christ what to do, that's where we're going to get all the rest of things messed up.
Yeah, another thing that I ended up looking up, because, you know, with Matthew and Mark and Luke in the three Gospels there in the New Testament, they have a lot of shared stories. And I found it interesting because in St. Matthew's Gospel, we see the same exchange happening. It's in the 20th chapter there of his Gospel. But right before this, very same chapter, Jesus had told his disciples this parable about a vineyard owner. And the owner of this vineyard, he goes out and he keeps hiring more workers throughout the day. And as the end of the day comes and all of the different workers line up to get paid, it's the ones who started late in the day. He goes out, I forget, I don't have it here in front of me, but it's like three or four or five times he goes out and he keeps on bringing more people back, saying, you know, come on, I'll hire you for my vineyard. And so the ones who started at the end of the day, they get their pay. They get that daily wage that the ones who had started at the very beginning of the day, they had already agreed upon that wage. So the ones who had been working longer thought, well, we're going to get paid more. And then they don't. And then there's grumbling among those workers who had been there working all day. The owner responds, hey, I'm not cheating you. You know, I'm paying you what we agreed upon for your wage for working today, and are you upset because I'm doing what I want to with my own money? Are you angry because I'm generous? But then Jesus concludes that parable, and he says, the last will be first, and the first will be last. And then right after that, there's only one sentence in Matthew's Gospel before it jumps into this same exact story that we hear from Mark's Gospel today at Mass, where in Matthew's Gospel, it's actually the mother of James and John, their mom, who comes and says, I want you to do whatever I ask of you on behalf of my sons. So she's kind of the one presenting this. But it's almost like Matthew in his Gospel is saying, Jesus just told them the last will be first and the first will be last. And now they just don't get it. They're oblivious to what Jesus just told them. They're so focused on themselves there at that moment. They just don't get it.
Absolutely. And that vineyard story tends to get absolutely everybody uncomfortable because it's so antithetical to our instincts of, well, wait a minute, if I work this many hours, I get this much money per hour or whatever it might be. And you're absolutely right that I got to wonder, you know, how would I feel if I was the fly on the wall following Christ and the disciples throughout his earthly ministry? Because it seems like as the Gospels go through the story, it's like, did we not just talk about this? How is it that you're not getting it? And that's a great example right there with the vineyard and then with the mother of James and John and Matthew's account of it anyway. Having to this repeat of, did we not just discuss this? Did we not just put two and two together? And it's one of those things that actually might be in an odd way comforting to many of us, in that, you know, maybe when we go to confession or maybe when we do our examination at the end of each day, looking back at the day and where did I do well? Where was I not so good? What sins do I need to look forward to confessing soon? And a lot of people tend to get down because we have bad habits that we can't get rid of, or similar or the same sins that keep coming up time and time again in the sacrament of confession. And so in an odd way, you might even find that situation in Matthew's Gospel a bit of a comfort, in that even the apostles needed to be reminded again and again about even some of the basics. And so when we all are recognizing our own sins or our own need for conversion, we can take comfort at least in that, well, yes, I need to work hard at improving my holiness, at getting rid of my sins, but also at the same time, look, the apostles had a lot of hard times themselves just trying to get the basics right.
Yeah, well, it does give hope for all of us if you know, people who seem to be missing the point and it has to be explained again and again to them. You know, we can look at ourselves and say, well, what am I missing? But thankfully, we have a very patient, very loving, very gracious God who will go ahead and say again and again, well, this is what you need to do, or this is where you need to be.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's one of those things, too, where not all that long ago, a member of my own parish here offered me a correction that was I think even necessary. That one of the things this particular member of my parish loves to say is, "Father, you know, you're very good at preaching and you can sing just fine, but you can't act." And when he first told that to me, like, "What do you mean I can't act? I'm not an actor. I'm a priest, you know." But he said, "You know, when something goes wrong, Father, it seems pretty obvious to the rest of us that you know something went wrong. Maybe the musicians forgot to sing the Gloria, or maybe one of the altar servers clearly dropped something on the way to or from the altar, and maybe they need to correct me." And it's one of those things of, yes, perhaps that's something that we all need to hear, even if it's not our favorite thing to hear.
Well, and what I'm hearing is that you might be a great person to play poker with then, Father.
I bet my eyebrows would go sky high if I had a couple of aces in my hand.
Uh-huh. All right. Our spiritual director, Father Jeremy Plouffe, a priest in the Diocese of St. Cloud, pastor of three parishes there in western Minnesota. And we're talking about how we can be servants, following Jesus's words that we hear today in the gospel reading at Mass. "Whoever wishes to be great among you will be your servant. Whoever wishes to be the first among you will be the slave of all." When have you been able to put those acts of service into play for somebody else? How did putting someone else's needs before your own deepen your relationship with Christ? Was it difficult to get started doing that servant attitude, having that with those around you? As you've taken on more of that servant attitude, doing those acts of service, has it become easier? Our studio line is open. We'd love to hear how you've been able to live out that servant attitude in your life. 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. And more about being a servant, a Christian servant, coming up here on The Inner Life right after this on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Welcome back to The Inner Life on Relevant Radio. Call in now to share your story with our Inner Life spiritual directors. 1-888-914-9149. That's 1-888-914-9149. This is The Inner Life on Relevant Radio.
Welcome back. I'm Josh Raymond, along with our spiritual director, Father Jeremy Plouffe, a priest in the Diocese of St. Cloud, Minnesota. A big thank you to Jim Shaper and Patrick Alog and Nick Sentovich as they're helping to produce the program today. And, of course, we are continuing our conversation about Christian servanthood. When have you been able to do those acts of service for someone else? How did putting somebody else's needs before your own deepen your relationship with Christ? How have you been able to live that out? Our studio line is 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. Our email address, innerlife@relevantradio.com. And Father Jeremy, you know, before the break, we were talking about, you know, how we can live out being that servant and looking at how God might have to kind of tell us again and again, and there's that patience there. But also in serving others and also allowing others to serve us, it takes some humility. And so from that standpoint, looking at setting aside our pride, being able to exercise and grow in humility, what are some practical ways that you might encourage us to say, this is, you know, if you do this or you do that, these are some good, maybe small starting steps to grow in that virtue of humility?
Absolutely. I would like to start with a story, actually, that I think gets at exactly what you're saying, Josh. So some time ago, I was visiting some very dear friends of mine. I did their wedding a number of years ago, and at the time, they had one child who was 1 year old, just over 1 year old at the time. And so they invited me over to their home for dinner and to celebrate the fact that they were expecting a second child, which is very exciting. So I got there, and the wife was home with the one-year-old child, and of course she's expecting her second. And my buddy, her husband, wasn't quite home yet, so I said hello, and then, of course, being the one-year-old that their firstborn was, you know, needed to be changed, and that's just when My friend came in to the home, and I was very excited to see my friend, the husband of this couple. And right away, though, just with chaos happening, dinner is trying to get off the ground, and the little kid needs to be changed, and all sorts of things happening. My friend, I was actually really touched because he clearly wanted to say hello to me and hang out with me and just catch up. But right away, he dove in and saw, like, okay, my wife needs help in the kitchen. The kid needs to be changed. And Father Jeremy, you're going to have to wait. You're going to have to wait. And I was actually really marveled where some people might, you know, maybe have an instinct of, well, who's being the good host here? Shouldn't you be hosting the priest? But I actually thought, my friend was doing the right thing of, like, look, his wife needs help right now, and he needs to be a good example for as a husband and a father, and he just dove right in. And so I was moved by his example of humility and just saying, you know what, I might want to hang out with my friend Father Jeremy, but I need to dive in and be a husband and a father right now. And then you might even say, on my own end, as a priest or as the guest even, we just need to be very understanding of, hey, practically here, there's a lot going on. This is not all about me. They're a family, and they need to take care of each other. So just with that little silly example of going over to somebody's home for dinner, right, we could see that, how is it that I need to help out? And just sticking with the example of marriage for just a moment, an awkward thing that I tell engaged couples when I'm prepping them for the sacrament of matrimony is I say to them, marriage is not a 50-50 thing where you do half the work and the other spouse does half the work as well, which might not seem instinctually right. But with the story I just mentioned, I think we can see that when there's work to be done, you dive in and help. We don't stand back and say, I already did my 50% of the day, now it's your turn to do the other 50%. Rather, if you're able to help, if you're understanding, you should be able to dive in and say, this person needs help, I need to be a helper, and I'm able to help. So I think in practicality, rather than simply standing back as a job and say, I did my volunteer time or I did my share of the work around the house today, I'm going to kick up my feet and relax the rest of the day. In being a servant, I think we'd really have to say, like Christ didn't stop giving until he gave us his final breath on the cross, I think so also, if we're able to give, it's a servant aspect of our Christian nature to say, I need to give, even if I've already given more than my fair share.
You know, something else that kind of at least stands out to me in this example, this story you're sharing of this friend of yours, the husband, the father, coming home there and just jumping right in to change the diaper that needs to be changed, taking care of those priorities and not saying, well, I'm going to let my wife do it because my friend is here, so I want to spend time with my friend. He also, I'm going to guess, after changing the diaper, after taking care of those things, he didn't come back and then say, hey, honey, you know, I know you're cooking dinner, but look at what I did. Wasn't that a great job? You know, he probably didn't come back and look for any sort of acknowledgement or any accolades. And I think that's also another aspect of when we are trying to be that servant for those around us, that, you know, in the same way that Jesus tells us, you know, if you're praying, go into your inner room and don't make a big deal out of it. You know, the Pharisees, when they fast and they're going through, you know, they make a big spectacle of themselves, but don't let anybody know that you're fasting when you do that. I would think that the same kind of attitude and application can be brought forth to when we are serving others as Christians, that we don't want to draw attention to ourselves. You know, that might happen. There might be some instance where it just happens naturally because of, you know, just the setting that you're in. But we should be wanting to serve people for the sake of showing them the love of Christ, not because we're going to get any sort of pat on the back for it.
Absolutely right. And that's where I think of Matthew 5:16, which is right at the end of the Beatitudes, right after Christ finishes his wonderful speech about blessed are these people and blessed are those people. It's almost like in my imagining of that event, Christ pauses for just a moment and kind of looks around at the crowd gathered and says in Matthew 5:16, "All will see the deeds that you do, and your light must shine before others that they may see those good works and glorify your heavenly Father." Because we're not doing it for our own credit. We're doing it to help out others as Christ helped us out. But then you might even say, like, the sideline or the added benefit is that we can teach others by our example what they ought to do as well, which is exactly what Christ did. Christ never just sits back and says, all of you people have to go do this. Christ always led by example. And that example of his leading by example is also what we're called to do, lead by example. And so I think it's really exciting for a Christian to get in that habit. And it's fun to see when Christians kind of snowball in this way, where people get excited and even thrilled about, yes, I worked really hard today and I'm still willing to give more. And it even puts a smile on faces lots of times rather than a heavy burden.
Mm. Our spiritual director is Father Jeremy Plouffe. We're looking at today's gospel reading at Mass, where Jesus says, "Whoever wishes to be great among you will be your servant. Whoever wishes to be first among you will be the slave of all." How are you living out being that servant to those around you? How did putting somebody else's needs before your own help you in growing in that relationship with Christ and deepening your faith? Our studio line is 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. And Father, let's go to the phones. We've got Debbie who's listening in Milwaukee. Hi, Debbie. Welcome to The Inner Life today.
Hi, good morning. You know, it made me think of how I try to do little things because really they all add up. And one thing was got some lunch real quick between calls and at a little deli and got something to eat, was sitting in my car eating it. And I was just about to get to this little pastry, that chili pastry that I would buy every so often as a treat. And this homeless man knocked on my window and asked if I had any money. And I was like, gosh, you know what? I don't have any cash. And I'm looking at that little pastry.
Debbie, you're just kind of getting a little muffled there. Can you hold your phone up? We want to be able to hear as you're telling us here.
Sure. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, so this man came up and asked if you had any money.
I asked for money, and I didn't have any, and I had that little pastry, so I really wanted to eat that. But I said, you know what, he needs it more than me, so I gave him the pastry, and he just said thank you and walked away. And, you know, it's so many times we do something little like that. But I tell you, the feeling I got from doing that, I mean, I wanted that pastry, but I had a much better feeling by giving it to him.
I think I got all that, Debbie. It's fun to have those experiences as burdensome as they might seem to be at the time. And when somebody comes up to ask for money, I think lots of us get this instinct of whether it's try not to roll our eyes of like, oh, of course, somebody wants a free handout here. I'd like to share with you, Debbie, and everyone listening, a similar story that I experienced, and it's not at all my own doing even. So I was in seminary, and we were on our way back from the March for Life. So we were heading back towards Minnesota from the March for Life, and we were stopping in a train junction to switch trains. And I think we had at least 2 hours to wait for our next train, to board our next train. And so we went to a food court, and we were all sitting down, and I was sitting actually next to the priest from our seminary who was in charge of our group for this event. And it was a hustle and bustle, kind of a busy food court, and I was just wearing something very casual, like a sweater and jeans or something. But the priest, of course, who I was with, was dressed in full clerics and collar. And somebody came up to him. We were right in the middle of eating a lunch. He came up to the priest and said, "Father, I need some food. Can you help me?" And I'm embarrassed to say, my first instinct was, you know, stop bothering the priest. The priest is eating lunch. Please don't bother him, was my instinct. But thanks be to God, before I could open my mouth, the priest that we were with stood up without even a second thought and said, hey, why don't we walk to whatever place in this food court you want to eat and I'll buy you something. And I was just so moved by that. And I watched Father just to make sure he was okay. And he was conversing with a nice person. They waited in line. They looked to be having a very nice conversation. And when they got to the front of line, they ordered food. The priest paid for the food, gave him a blessing even, before returning to our table and finishing lunch. And I mentioned to that priest when we got on our second train to get all the way back home, I mentioned to him how moved I was by his example to not simply just here's a couple of bucks and leave me alone, but to have a whole conversation, a blessing. And I was just moved by that. And so, Debbie, with your story, I think that can really inspire us to say, you know, charity is not something that's extraneous to the Christian. It's what we should be expected to, like, if I'm able to help, I'm going to dive in and help. And so your story, Debbie, was very nice. And I hope I can re-inspire you and hopefully inspire others with this really wonderful story as well.
Yeah, and as Debbie is sharing her experience there, you know, somebody asking for some money, she doesn't have money, you know, is able to offer that pastry and say, no, you know, here's what I have. It kind of takes me back to the where you have Peter and the other apostles, and Peter's asked, you know, is there anything that you can give us, to somebody who's approaching him? And he says, I don't have gold, I don't have silver, but what I do have is I have the gift of salvation here, and I can share that with you, and talks about Christ. And that right there, it also makes me think of people I've known in my life who, just like this example you gave, Father Jeremy, of this priest that you were traveling with, when somebody is just kind and friendly, they have that warmth that they share with somebody else, somebody that you might think, I don't want to be bothered with this right now. But when somebody has that warmth, that friendliness that they share, it really does then make me have the same response that I think you shared, you know, that, boy, I want to be like that. I want to be that person who greets somebody with a smile, because that person maybe hasn't had a smile from anybody else that day. You know, maybe they look like they're that unlovable person. And if I can just give them that smile, maybe it's not even, you know, giving some sort of material donation, money or food or anything like that. It's just greeting them with a smile and showing the love of Christ in the way that you greet somebody, knowing that they're a son or daughter of God as well.
Absolutely, Josh. And I think it's even a sense of divine providence where what we've been given, not just our material goods, but even the people that Christ pushes into our life through divine providence, you know, we're called to say, how can I make sure this person hears the gospel today? And of course, you know, sometimes that might mean like, hey, let me tell you why I'm so happy. Let me tell you why I have this great warmth. It's because I am a Christian and I love the sacraments. I get grace from Mass every single weekend. And at other times as well, it might be Christ is calling us to sacrifice, to be the servant who is willing to give up what's rightfully ours for the good of somebody else who might be in need.
Father, let's go back to the phones. We've got Jack who's listening out in Salt Lake City in Utah. And hi, Jack, you're on the air here today with Father Jeremy.
Well, thank you. Can you hear me okay? I'm on speakerphone. I can put it off of that if you need to.
No, you sound just fine, Jack. Go ahead.
All right. Well, I thought I'd just pass this on to some people there who may want to have a little ministry of their own. But I read the Shroud of Turin. I'm sure many of you know about that. And it, the impression on the shroud of Christ being resurrected, they had no way of knowing how it could have happened. It had to happen in a fraction, well, a pretty short period of time, or it would have been disappeared. And that really a witness to me. So I was coming out of church one day, and I saw a stained glass on the resurrection. And I thought, well, I this really compelled me to believe more and more in the resurrection. And I wonder if other people would like to know that. But then I heard that they'd announced that the shroud was a fake because they carbon-dated the cotton patch that had been sewed on it by the good nuns in the 13th century when there was a fire in the Cathedral of Turin. And I thought, it made me so mad. I thought, the world has to know about this. So I printed up a couple of pages of the two books I'd read on the shroud and the ciborium, which was this head wrapping, that they found in Oneida, Spain. So it kind of substantiated the truth of it. And so I copied this thing to put it down on a thing. I thought, well, what am I going to do with this? And it hit me. Where's the bulletin board? And I thought, well, there's a bulletin board in a laundromat sometimes. So I'd go into laundromats and I'd pin this little two-page thing up on it. And then I'd meet people and I'd show them. I'd say, hey, may I ask you a question? And they said, sure. And I'd say, have you ever heard of the Shroud of Turin? Point out a little picture of it on this book I have. And we get some phenomenal conversations about whether they believed or not, or they had this problem or that. And I'd be able to share with them a couple of miracles I had and leave them with this this thing. And sometimes I'd give them a New Testament. That's my story, and I'm sticking with it.
Well, you know, Jack, I know the former host of The Inner Life, Chuck Neff, wrote and did a lot involved with the Shroud of Turin. So if he was on the air with us right now, I'm sure he'd have a lot to say about that. And I think when we can find, as you said at the end there, an opportunity to share reasons for our hope, and as the sacred scriptures say, always be ready to give a reason for your hope. So if we can have an opportunity to talk about the resurrection and lots of opportunities to share even the gospel, you know, that would be a good thing. I guess I don't know what else to say about your research into the Shroud of Turin.
Right. Well, and, you know, it's always good to use those opportunities where we have a passion, Father, you know, to be able to take that. And if we're interested in something about our faith, that enthusiasm, that energy, it's going to allow us to be kind of like you were talking there in Matthew's the fifth chapter, where we let our good deeds, let our light shine. You know, we're meant to not be a light that's hidden under a basket or a bushel. We're meant to be a light that shines for all. And so having that welcoming attitude there towards other people and having that passion for our faith, it becomes... what's the word I'm looking for? It becomes infective, you know. Other people will catch that enthusiasm from us.
I think so, and that's what's really fun, especially when you see how the young Catholics, whether it's the young adults or the high school kids or college kids even, when they see a witness of their own age, when they see someone who it really is their own age, who is excited about the Holy Faith and even willing to put their money where their mouth is, so to speak, by volunteering not just at Mass, volunteering for church charity events and all sorts of things, it is infectious, as you say, of like it really does get other people saying, I guess there's something real about this Holy Faith.
Our spiritual director is Father Jeremy Plouffe, a priest in the Diocese of St. Cloud, Minnesota. And we're talking about how we can live out Christian servanthood to those that we encounter day in and day out. When have you been able to put those acts of service into practice for someone else? How did putting somebody else's needs before your own deepen your relationship with Christ? And how has it gotten easier as you've done that more and more throughout your life? Maybe it's difficult for you to do those acts of service for someone else. You need a little help, a little encouragement. Well, our studio line is open here at 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. And more of your phone calls and more of the conversation coming up next here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio Line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/forester.
If you're looking for a little help on your journey of faith, our priests are here for you. Call now. 1-888-914-9149. That's 1-888-914-9149. Or email us, innerlife@relevantradio.com. This is The Inner Life on Relevant Radio.
Welcome back. I'm Josh Raymond here on The Inner Life, along with our spiritual director, Father Jeremy Plouffe. Today we're looking at those words of Jesus in the gospel reading we hear at Mass, where he says, "Whoever wishes to be great among you will be your servant. Whoever wishes to be first among you will be the slave of all." And, you know, being a servant, Father Jeremy, That's okay. Being a slave, that's a pretty strong word right there, that we enter into this idea of being a slave for others so that we can be great in the kingdom of God.
Absolutely. And of course, you know, it's a difficult term slave is a difficult term, especially when we're looking at, like, it can conjure up images for people of slavery, perhaps in the United States.
Right, historically here in our country. Right, yeah.
Absolutely. But I think what I would point people towards in terms of understanding being slaves for Christ, there's a number of religious orders that describe themselves, monks, nuns, that type of thing, who describe themselves as slaves of Mary or slaves of Christ, where they say, you know, everything else goes away. All I do is I serve Christ in his holy church. And it's really a remarkable thing where when you think about especially some of the more famous saints who set aside a great deal to make sure that Christ, Almighty God, is number one in their life. And if I can give one example of that, I think of St. Thomas More, who was not a monk or a nun or anything. He was a civil servant in England a couple hundred years ago. St. Thomas More started off as a lawyer, was sort of a philosopher really as well, but eventually attained high office in England under King Henry VIII. And one of the things that made him, you might say, a slave of Christ is St. Thomas More refused to take the oath of supremacy, where King Henry decided that he is supreme head of the church, not Christ, not even the Pope. King Henry himself said, "I am supreme head of the church." St. Thomas More said, I'm not doing that. I refuse to do that. I'm not saying that at all." And even with several opportunities given to St. Thomas More, he said, "No. Christ is the supreme head of the church. The Pope is the servant of the church, who is our earthly leader to help us make sure that we're on the right track." And St. Thomas More ended up being martyred for this. But his last words before he was martyred, St. Thomas More famously said, "I die the king's good servant, but God's servant first." And so when we talk about a slave for Christ, I think that encapsulates it so well. You know, I die the good servant of my country and my family, but God's servant first.
And, of course, I would be remiss if we did not mention that great classic movie that portrays the life and the martyrdom of St. Thomas More, A Man for All Seasons. It's a wonderful movie. If you've never seen it, highly recommend it. Father Jeremy, let's go back to the phones. We've got Marge, who's listening in Glenview, Illinois. Hi, Marge. You're on the air today here on The Inner Life.
Hello to both of you. Thank you. I found through the grace of God and that one of the greatest servants that we have in this culture is the grandparents who raise grandchildren, and I'm one of them. And you know, my granddaughter was sort of orphaned by both of her parents, who both do well, but there was a selfishness there that overtook them, and so I took two of them when they were. You know, one of them was 8 years old, and I'm still in the process of that. The one is a sophomore in college now, and then I'll be done. But I never, as I was going through, I was just always in awe of how, because I didn't plan for it, of course, financially, and neither parent contributed, and I didn't have a lot in my retirement that I had planned for this. So, but I was always provided for, and sometimes I would just stop and say, this has to be the grace of God that allows me to have the health and the resources and the ability to get them safely to adulthood and bring them to God and that. So I see that with so many grandparents that have laid down their lives that these kids can get safely to adulthood.
Marge, I'm touched. You know, that's a heroic thing. Just, you know, to say, you know, I'm going to rush in there and help raise the grandkids when, for whatever reason, you know, there's a gap that needs to be filled. I'm glad you shared that with us because I think one of those things is lots of people, and sometimes myself included, might be a little hesitant to say, well, you know, it's not my place to step in, or maybe they should seek services elsewhere that might be available. And I love to hear this, where here's a great example for someone who, for love of Christ, says, here, I need to help. There's a need, and I can rush in to help, and even to be brave enough to say, you know, God will provide. You know, this was not part of the plan. This wasn't part of the budget. This wasn't part of my expectant time commitment for years to come. And, well, wait a minute, what about my time? What about my money? What about my enjoyment of life? Well, when something comes up, it's our turn to help out. And that's Christian servanthood at its heart. Thank you very, very much for sharing that story. And congratulations, too, on getting the grandkids, you know, safely, I think you said sophomore in college, getting them safely and hopefully on the right track to make sure that they can share that same Christian charity, not just with others generally, but with hopefully in the future their own children and their own grandchildren as well.
Right. And Marge, thanks again for that call. And Father, as she was sharing there too, you know, she's saying, I didn't necessarily know how it was all going to work, how I was going to be able to provide. And that's another aspect of just having faith, that when we step out saying, I want to be that servant, you know, not that we need to put ourselves in a precarious situation where we might not be able to provide for all of our own needs, but that if there is that willingness and, you know, God is leading us to help someone, to be that servant to someone, He'll provide a way. It might not be the way that we would have originally thought, might not be according to our plan, but He will provide a way that if those resources aren't there, He'll take care of it. He'll provide that for us.
I think you're absolutely right, Josh, and I think we've seen that with so many Christians who have given generously. And I'll second what you say. Like, we have to, of course, be careful not to put ourselves in a precarious situation where we're being foolhardy. Certainly not. But when we are called to sacrifice, that's exactly what the Christian should do.
Now, we're down to our last few minutes in the program here, but let's talk about that role of servant leadership. If we have to give direction to others, if we tell others what to do, they follow our management, especially in maybe an employment situation, or, you know, we've been talking about parents and grandparents. They're also people who have to have that leadership aspect in what they're doing, even if they want to be a servant. So if we have to be in that role of authority for others, how can we still lead and yet be that servant to those that we're overseeing in whatever vocation, whatever capacity that we have?
Absolutely. And I think of Matthew 5:42, even, where Christ says, give to the one who asks of you and do not turn your back on the one who wants to borrow. Because that servant leader, you know, is one who you know, sets the charge, right? Not somebody who stands back and says, well, I'm going to sit in my chair while you go out and do the hard work, the heavy lifting. But one who's like, I'm right in the trenches there with you. I'm ready to do the hard work as well and stand by your side when push comes to shove. And I think in my own growing up, I've seen that so often. And that's what certainly inspires me more so than anything else, rather than someone standing back and who might be an expert and say, here's exactly how you do the hard work. Someone who stands next to me and helps me side by side. I think that's certainly a servant leader who's willing to do that. And you can think of simple examples in the parish where the chair, a person of a committee, might also be willing to do the hard work of doing the dishes for a parish event. Or you might think on a grander scale where somebody might say, well, I'm not just going to clean my area of the house that the parents asked me to clean. I'm going to help my siblings clean the entire house, even if they're not going to help me clean the living room or what have you. When you're willing to step up and do more than just your fair share, as we talked about earlier, rather than a married couple saying, I'm only doing 50% of the work in the house because I'm 50% of the couple. When you're willing to be that servant leader who says, I'm going to keep on giving because Christ gave his last breath for us, that's when we find something exciting, something that we want to follow, a leader we want to get behind. And as you said earlier, Josh, something that's infectious that can lead other people to understand what's so great about being a Christian.
Yeah, you know, one example that comes to my mind is I know this man who's a CEO of a multi-million dollar organization, and he ends up giving a week of his summer to go And he's able to take kind of that administrative skill set that he has, but he goes to volunteer in helping to lead in a kitchen at a boys' camp every summer, just so that those boys have the opportunity to be involved in learning about their faith, in, you know, the daily mass and the Eucharistic adoration, praying the rosary that happens at this Catholic boys' camp. But he goes and works in the kitchen as one of the kitchen workers, helping to kind of lead that charge, like you said, Father. Well, we're down to just our last about 45 seconds here of the hour, Father Jeremy. Could I ask you to extend your priestly blessing to all those who are listening as we conclude the hour?
Absolutely. And since it's the feast, or the memorial rather, of St. Philip Neri, who himself was a grand servant of the Church, we'll pray with him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, you continually raise up faithful servants for your Church. Help us to always offer you praise and follow the example of St. Philip Neri. Keep us always cheerful in our work and for the good of our neighbor. May Almighty God bless you all, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Father Jeremy Plouffe, thank you so much for being our spiritual director today. If you're listening and you missed any part of the earlier conversation, as always, go back and listen to the full hour, the podcast that's available at relevantradio.com or on the Relevant Radio app. And of course, stay tuned. We've got Mass that's coming up next. Father Rocky is the celebrant, and we will see you back here tomorrow on The Inner Life. Have a wonderful rest of your day.